Welcome in to another episode of War Talking, and tonight we're talking football, Raging Cajun football, with Dave Amato. How are you tonight, Dave?
I'm doing good. Cajuns won basketball. It was a little more intense than I wanted it to be, but they pulled out a victory, and they're 10-1, so I'm doing good.
First time in 32 years the team has started 10-1, and as far as I'm concerned, a victory is a victory, and there are no such things as ugly ones. So I'm going to take that. Hopefully it's a learning experience.
Right, and I'd like to see them get a really big win on Wednesday night next week. That would be huge.
Absolutely, that would be a very, very big win for the program. So let's go ahead. Let's jump right in here. Not a whole lot of football left. Well, actually one game left, so that's more than what some would have thought it after some Cajun fans thought the implosion was there and didn't have to worry about bowl tickets after week three? Oh, my gosh, we've gone to crap. We'll never win another game this year. I don't know. I mean, how are we going to do this? But
yeah, you're right. It was a strange season, but you know what's really fun is this bowl game is going to be between two teams that had strange seasons. Both of them were expecting to have huge years, and they're 7-5. We're 6-6. I think disappointing for both teams, but the fact that they're both in bowl games and playing each other, I think, is exciting.
It is. It's a good opportunity. I spoke with Danny about it earlier this evening. The Sun Belt has an opportunity, a realistic opportunity, let me put it that way, of going 7-0 in bowl games. So that could be, or there are six teams. I forgot already.
No, there's seven. And look, you never know in bowl season how it all works out. It's the team that wants it more, right? Some teams have a lot of things going on. I'm a little concerned about Coastal going into a bowl game. They played really poorly the last two games, and they're not going to be playing with Grayson McCall. So Lord knows what they're going to actually show up with.
I thought he said he was going to play in the bowl game, or they said.
Oh, did he?
That was
I looked at something today that showed the depth chart with Bryce Washington. I'm still got basketball in my brain. Bryce Carpenter as the starting quarterback for the bowl game, but I could be mistaken.
That's all right. Well, that's not what we're here to talk about. But, yes, I agree with you there. Coastal, I think, it has lost a great opportunity there. But,
yeah,
that's not who we're here to talk about. Houston and the Cajuns, though, talk to me about the coaching staff, the head coach. What do you know about them?
Yeah, so this is this guy has been around for a while. Dana Holgerson, he most people know him from his West Virginia. He spent 8 years at West Virginia, had a decent record there, 61-41. He wasn't, a terrible coach there. But of course, when you're at West Virginia, the expectations are really high, and he couldn't succeed where the expectations were. So he's moved around a little bit, and he's in a good place, right? He's at Houston, a team that's going to be moving to the Big 12. I think, this team, like we talked about just a few minutes ago, the expectations on this team were really high going into the season. They struggled a little bit, and we'll get into the details on that on defense, and they've struggled a little bit with a running game. But overall, what you expect out of Houston is what you get, and what you expect out of Dana Holgerson is exactly what you get. This is a team that's going to throw the ball all over the field. He coached with and under guys like Hal Mumme and Mike Leach. A lot of these fun and gun offenses where, they throw the ball around the field a lot. Under Kevin Sumlin and Mike Gundy. So he's used to that high octane offense. He's a good coach, and look, Houston's happy to have him, I'm sure.
Absolutely. It sounds that way. Since you brought up the quarterback position, let's go ahead and start there. My understanding is a dual threat guy which in the past has given the Cajuns some fits at times. But at the same time, when the Cajuns have had that opportunity, i.e. at Liberty, the defense have really stepped it up big and being able to control that running quarterback. What's your thoughts on him?
So Clayton Toon, he is their guy. He's 6'3", 220. Good player. I mean, I've seen a couple of reports that they list the top, 15, 20 quarterbacks in the country, and he's in the top 10 list almost in all of them. The guy's just a super talent. Houston has a history of fantastic quarterbacks, right? Case Keenum and David Klingler and Andre Ware, and you can go on down the list. And he's in that mold. What makes him special is he is a dual threat guy. He led the team in rushing yards this year, and he's a fantastic thrower of the football. I mean, when you look at his statistics, he's throwing, completing over 67% of his passes, 37 touchdowns, got a high number of interceptions, but this is a fun and gun offense. They're going to throw some interceptions, right? They take some chances. So he's got 10 picks on the year, but it's almost a 3-1, 4-1 average on touchdowns versus interceptions. And they'll take that because of, what the expectations are in the offense, that they're going to sling the ball all over the field.
His running game, though, where does he rank on the team as far as yards and all of that?
He's the leading rusher, and he's the leading – he's got the most carries, and he's got the most touchdowns on the season from the running – as a runner of the ball. When he takes it and runs, he can go with it. He is not a guy that's going to run, 50, 60-yard carries a lot of times, but he's a guy that's going to get you – when he needs to get positive yards with his legs, he will. And when he gets outside the pocket, he's very dangerous. All right, he's not as athletic as Malik Wilson or Malik Willis that we saw last year. And like you said, we shut him down. But he does have the ability to just move around in the pocket and make things happen with his legs.
Well, you brought up the running back position. If he's the leading rusher, where do they go to from there? Is it by committee? Is it in an
– Yeah, it is by committee. Their main guy, who's kind of he was hurt late in the year, is Stacy Sneed. He's a pretty good one. He's 5'11", 175, pretty good player. Another guy, Brandon Campbell, 5'11", 210. And then Tajon Henry, 5'7", 170, more of that scat back guy. Henry is the transfer from Texas Tech. They like to bring him in, third down type guy. But Sneed is the leading running back or the rusher from the running back position. And he's got five touchdowns on the season. But he's one of these make it or break it type guys. When he has a good game, he has a great game. When he has a bad game, he has a really bad game. He had 143 yards, I think, in the last game that he played, which was, I want to say Tulsa, where he really exploded he's only got less than 500 yards on the season. He had 143 of them in one game.
Okay. What about you? What are we looking at the wide receiver core? Do you have an individual they like to go to, or are they going to spread the ball around?
Well, look, because they throw the ball so much, they do spread it around a lot. But there is an amazing guy on that team, and his name is Nathaniel, and his nickname is Tank Dell. He's not a big guy, 5'10", 160, but he's by far the best. He has 103 receptions on the year for 1,354 yards and 15 touchdowns. He is by far the best receiver on this football team. And they've got other guys behind him, but he is the main threat that you've got to shut down. This is a guy that we're going to see playing on Sundays probably.
Really, at 5'10", 160, very interesting.
I believe that just because when you watch him, he's so explosive. This is a guy that kind of in the mold of, maybe a Tyreek Hill or somebody like that, really a guy that you get him in space, and once he's in space, he can just do some amazing things on the football field.
Okay, fair enough.
And they've got, and look, they've got other guys. When you look at how they spread the ball around, Matthew Golden has 36 catches with 7 touchdowns. Keyshawn Carter has 35 and 4 touchdowns. I got another guy with 41. Sam Brown, 41 catches and 4 touchdowns. They got another guy, 11 catches and 123 yards. They spread the ball around to their wide receivers quite a bit.
They thrown the ball to the tight end at all?
Yeah, they do. They've got a pretty good one. Christian Trahan is a senior from Sulphur that plays for him. He's got 23 catches on the season with 3 touchdowns and 237 yards. So, you know, they've got weapons all over the field. They throw the ball to the running backs. They throw the ball to the tight end. They throw the ball to their wide receivers. But Dell is the guy that we've really got to watch out for, because when he gets the ball in space, it can be dangerous. And I'll talk later about, you know, the fact that some of the keys to the game, but the reality is, you know, we got to make sure we tackle well against this team, because they can explode very easily.
What do they have up front with the big boys?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was drinking a sip of
sissy beer.
Something, an adult beverage. Yeah, my sissy beer. Look, they're very consistent and solid on the offensive line. They have not had to rotate a lot of players because of injuries, and the guys that are there have done a really good job. They're led by their all-conference player, Patrick Paul, at left tackle, 6'7", 315. Big, big, strong kid, really athletic kid. And Cameron Johnson, 6'4", 305, will be next to him at left guard. The left side of the offensive line is really good. And then they've got a pretty good center, 6'3", 295, in Jack Freeman. And then the right side's, you know, not as big or as physical as the left side of the offensive line, but they're talented too. So they've really only played, for the most part, 6 guys on the offensive line. They've been very healthy up there and very strong up there, giving Toon a lot of time at quarterback to throw the ball and pick defenses apart.
That seems to be the key to the successful football, is an offensive line that stays intact, even if you're rotating in guys like the Cajuns did the last couple years, health-wise, with your main guys being there. And I think we saw that later on with the Cajuns this season, the offensive line getting a little bit healthier and having some guys come back off of injuries to finish the season. Yeah. So,
yeah. And when you think about it, when you think about the Cajuns, when Hud was here and even when Billy was here, I mean, even though we rotated a lot of players, and you hit the nail on the head, we did. We always play, you know, 8 deep on the offensive line. What made them special is those 8 guys were always healthy. We didn't really have to be pulling way deep into our depth chart to get guys on the field. And I think we saw a little bit of that the last couple of years where it hasn't been as healthy, right? And this year's been a big piece of that. And we had some inexperience on the offensive line too. But what makes this team really, really strong with their offensive line is they are consistent. You know what you're going to get, and they're healthy and they're good.
Let's jump over to the defensive side of the ball. What do they play? What's their scheme look like?
Yeah, they're as explosive as the offense can be. And usually when you see that, right, you usually have a little bit of a weakness on the defense, and they do. They're a 4-2-5 defense, so they're going to play 4 down linemen. They're going to have 2 linebackers and then 5 defensive backs primarily. But they will give you a couple of different looks every now and then to kind of keep you off balance. On the front side of the ball, at defensive end, De'Anthony Jones and Nelson Caesar are the defensive ends. De'Anthony Jones is a good one. He's got 35 tackles on the season and 6 sacks and 6 forced fumbles. So he's just a guy who's just a disruptor, right? He's going to get in there and he's going to try to knock the ball away a lot. And Caesar has 34 tackles and 4 sacks. So they get, from their defensive end position, they've got 10 sacks on the season. So they're really, really good from the outside, getting pressure on the quarterback. And that's what they're going to try to do with the Cajuns. They're going to try to, you know, make sure that our quarterback stays in the pocket. I'm assuming it's going to be Chandler Fields to start the game. And they're going to try to keep him in the pocket and make sure that they can get some pressure on him and make him make bad throws.
Okay. What about the linebacker position?
Yeah, so at the linebacker position, it's they've got one guy that I would tell you, and again, it's a 4-2-5 defense, so you're really only seeing two linebackers. Now, you know, when you say that, when you play a 4-2-5, traditionally your two outside defensive ends are like linebackers, right? They can play a little bit rushing the quarterback, or they can back off. They're athletic guys. But Donovan Mouton, 6'2", 230, is the guy, and he's a tackling machine. He's got 78 tackles for him. He can play some pass defense. He's forced a fumble. He's really the best of their linebacking core, and he'll be on the field almost all the time. Manny Nunnery will be next to him. He's a guy that they kind of move around a little bit. They've got some guys who come in and give him a little time. To Marcus Cheeks is a pretty good player, and Jamal Morris will play a lot as well. But Mouton is the main guy at linebacker. He's a disruptor. He can cover in the pass game. He'll cover your tight ends when he has to. And then he'll just make a lot of tackles from that linebacker position.
Well, with the two linebackers there in the five defensive backs, are they going to play that one of those defensive backs sometimes in a little bit closer to the linebacking core more so? Do they have that size, or
they
is that
don't?
Is that something that we're going to see more of, like you talked about earlier, with the defense of ends dropping back into pass coverage?
Yeah, it'll be more of the defensive ends dropping back, because looking at the five guys that play in the defense, and again, I will say they will change up their defense a little bit and bring in an extra linebacker when they know it's a running, you know, part of the game, or if it's a passing game, they'll have that extra defensive back. But the defensive backs are not huge guys. They're really, when you look at all of them, the leading tackler is Javarius Owens. He's 6'2", 200. He's probably the biggest guy at the free safety position. They've got Art Green. He's 6'2", 200. He plays one cornerback. 5'9", 170 is Jalen Emery at the other corner. Hassan Hippolyte. He's a little bit more physical. He's 5'11", 215. He's a boundary safety for them. And then Alex Hogan plays cornerback with them. He'll come in. But really, they're not huge guys. So you'll see those defensive ends, when they know they have to drop back in pass coverage, they'll do that more than a safety coming up and playing linebacker.
Anything else on the from the defensive side of the ball that we may have missed, or that you want to expand on a little bit more there?
Yeah, I mean, look, this team struggles against the pass. When you look at what they do, they, you know, that's been their biggest problem, which is going to be interesting for the Cajuns, because we don't know, you know, we try to be a running team. We've thrown the ball a little bit. We haven't just been really consistent on offense either way. I think we're going to try to attack their defensive backs. That's why they have five of them back there. They're not great back there, so we might have an opportunity to expose them there. But at the end of the day, this is a team that, if you're going to beat them, there's a good chance you're going to have to really score a lot of points to beat them, because their offense is going to score a lot of points. So we're going to have to be good at moving the ball, and we're going to have to be good at throwing the ball. That's where our best opportunity is to beat them, I think, personally.
Okay. Let's move on to special teams. What do we got from the punter, or the kicking side of the ball for them?
Yeah, Lane Ramsey's a good one. He's a weapon. He averages almost 45 yards a punt. He's got a long of 67. 9 of his 37 punts are over 50 yards. So he's got a big, strong leg. He's had 9 of them downed inside the 20. So he's a threat when he goes back there, similar to Reese Burns for us, right? He's a guy that, you know, he can change the field position and really put another team in a bad situation when he needs to.
What about the field goal kickers? I've noticed that they've got two different field goal kickers. Are either one of them like a specialty type of guy where, you know, longer or shorter, or how do they split?
Yeah. So I tried to look at that because I wasn't sure about that. They do have two guys. Bubba Baxa is their main guy. He's only 9 of 14 on the season, and his misses were from only one of those misses were from 40+, and his long is only 37 yards. So he hasn't been great, and he's not a guy who's got a huge strong leg. And then Ramsey is their other kicker. He's 4 of 5 on the season, but he's only got a long of 42. So I'm not sure. I can't really put my head around the kicking game, right? It doesn't seem like they like, well, first of all, they don't kick the ball. They don't kick a lot because they score a lot of touchdowns, so they don't have to kick a lot. And I think they go for it quite a bit on third and fourth downs, that they try not to worry about a kicking game. They want to score touchdowns on.
Very interesting. Very interesting. What about their from their punt return specialist and your kickoff return specialist? What do we have back there?
Yeah. Tank Dell is their punt guy, their punt return guy, and he's good. He's got 9 punt returns on the season for 153 yards and a touchdown, but he averages 17 yards a punt return. So he's a guy when he gets the ball in his hands, and we talked about it earlier. I told him he's not a real big guy, but when he has the ball in space, he's dangerous, and he's really dangerous, right? So we're going to have to contain him, because when he gets the ball and has an opportunity to break one, he's done it before, and he'll do it again. So we're going to – our punt coverage is going to have to be really good against this team.
What about on the kickoff returns then? Is he back there or –
No, they've kind of bounced around with a couple of guys. Their main two guys are Peyton Sawyer and Jace Rogers. Both of them have 13 returns each. Rogers has been the most effective. He averages about 30 and a half yards a return. Now, one of those was a 100-yard kickoff return he had earlier in the season. And then Sawyer averages about 22 and a half yards a return with a long of 35. So they're both pretty good. I would tell you, you try to kick the ball away from Sawyer, because Sawyer does have that explosive opportunity to break one, and he's done it already. And like I said, his average is 10 to 11 yards bigger than Sawyer. So both their punt and kick returns are guys we're going to have to watch out for.
So let's kind of wrap this up as not the last one of the year. We'll come back after the bowl game, hopefully, if we, depending on your travel schedule, I know you've got some traveling to do, but we can kind of wrap up the season as a whole and give our thoughts on it. But what are the keys to this game if the Cajuns are going to come out with a victory here, I guess?
Yeah, I kind of alluded to it earlier, and I think this is going to really be the key, and it's really going to be good tackling. The Cajuns have to tackle. Houston's going to move the ball. We know that. They're just too good of an offensive team, and the expectation is they're going to try to move the ball down the field any way necessary. But what we can't do is give up those big yak yards, right? They throw a 10-yard pass. It needs to be tackled at 10 to 11 yards, not a 50-yard touchdown or a 75-yard touchdown reception after the catch. And that's what they're going to try to do. When the ball gets in Dell's hands, he may catch it for a 15-yard catch. We're going to have to make good tackles. If we don't, this game could get out of hand in a hurry. That's the type of offense they want to employ. We've got to keep tune in the pocket. We're going to have to keep a guy spied on him because, like I said, when he doesn't – our defensive backs have played very well all season. When he has the opportunity to get out of the pocket, he can make things happen with his legs. So we're going to have to spy him. Guys like Braylon Trahan and Cam Podeskalu are going to have to make tackles when they have the chance and cannot let him get big, big carries with his legs. So our defense is going to have to be extremely disciplined against this team. If they're not, it can get hard, ugly in a hurry.
Okay. Any last thoughts on the weather having any effect or the bowl game in Shreveport, an opportunity that the Cajuns have not had a opportunity to play in a lot of cold weather games as of recently.
I was asked that question earlier about what I thought, what team would have the advantage. I don't think it's a huge advantage either way because the weather's not going to be in the teens. It's going to be in the mid to upper 30s. I do believe the team that runs the ball better has a little bit of an advantage, if anything, in the cold weather because it is a pain in the ass to catch a ball in freezing cold weather, right? And neither one of these teams are used to playing in temperatures of, below freezing or close to freezing temperatures. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. If this game was played in 15, 20 degree weather with snow blowing, I think it would be a different story. I think it's going to be cold, but I don't think it's going to be something that makes a big deal. I do believe the team that runs the ball best will have the advantage regardless. And that's going to be a big deal because of the cold weather. But either way, it's still not going to make a huge difference, I don't think.
I would agree with you there.
I love the fact that the game that the Cape and I hate. So I only get one week. Well, I get time off for work. Besides this, but our company shuts everything down the week between Christmas and New Year's, and because of that, I usually take a special family vacation, and I hate that. I am going to be out of town for the bowl game because I think it is the perfect one. It's the perfect matchup to have two teams that are within 3 hours of each other playing each other. And the fact that it's in Shreveport that's drivable for both teams, I think it's a great venue for the Cajuns to be at. It's a historic bowl. People know the Independence Bowl. It'll be watched by a lot of people. So I'm happy that we're at this bowl game. I wish we were 9-3 playing in that bowl game, but at the end of the day, it's a great place and a great venue for the Cajuns to be at. And look, it just adds to our resume of a bowl game that we have never been to and we should have been to many times before. They didn't want us. Now we have the opportunity to play there against a
Absolutely.
team that's, a fun team for us because they're a nearby team, whether they're a rival or not, they're still a nearby team that we have a lot. Look, a lot of these kids are going to know each other, right? We've got a lot of Texas kids on our team. They got a lot of Louisiana kids on their team.
All right. Any last words of wisdoms or thoughts before we call it an evening?
No, look, it's been a fun season, Craig, and I appreciate you letting me come on and talk a little bit here and there about football. I encourage, and I'm probably speaking out of both sides of my mouth. I encourage all Cajun fans who can't attend the game to please try to attend the game. And I'll be watching, believe me, I'll be watching this one. And I hope the Cajuns pull out a victory. I think it's going to be a tough one, but I am excited to see the Cajuns play in another bowl game. And I'm happy for Coach Des. I think this was a really challenging season. But he put this team on his back and they played well when they needed to.
Good deal. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Happy New Year if we don't get a chance to chat in between the holidays.
Back
So,
at you. Back at you. And again, thanks for all you do for Cajun Athletics and podcast and Cajun just sports in general.
thanks, Dave. You've been listening and we're talking. We've been talking Raging Cajun football with Dave Amato. For Craig Melanson, I'm Dave Amato. Thanks for listening and we're talking.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast. broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.